I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and it's brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to the beach. Mike Koss here in studio, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino, and Saints head coach Dennis Allen joining us as well. Coach, tough loss in Atlanta, and as you speak about typically in the weeks before a game, you talk a lot about situational football, and that is always important. You win a lot of the facets of the game, but the muffed punt, the pick six, so Atlanta with 14 points without their offense on the field is on the road, very tough to overcome.
Yeah, that very rarely happens that you win those types of games. And so, you know, we've got to do a better job, in particular when we're on the road, of protecting the football. Those are critical mistakes that against good teams get you beat, and it came back to haunt us.
Now, Coach Allen, if I'd have told you before the season, I looked in my crystal ball, and the Saints, who have now scored 127 points through four games against 70 points scored by your opponent, and that scoring differential plus 57 in 4 weeks, you probably would think, damn, we got a probably a good chance to be 4-0. But you got to be able to finish. I look at the Chiefs, it might be ugly, but they're 4-0, and it's all about how the game transpires, but how you finish. And it's going to be the case come Monday night in Kansas City. And then when Tampa Bay comes to town, still, you know, how we finish the game.
No, look, Bobby, you're exactly right. That's what we've got to learn how to do. We've got to learn how to finish better. And right now we're not doing that, and that's what the good teams are really able to do. The good teams are able to finish when they have an opportunity to, and so that's been disappointing. And hopefully our guys are continuing to learn from that, and we'll get better at that as the season rolls on. But that's the way that the National Football League is. That, you know, a majority of these games come down to, you know, one score games, and so. You know, it's been disappointing that the last 2 weeks we've had an opportunity to close it out on defense, and we haven't been able to get the job done.
Now, you know, Coach, I was really optimistic that when you look first and goal from the 5-yard line, now we ended up, you know, fourth and goal, we ended up in the 7-yard line, so we're going backwards instead of going forwards. I know Taysom Hill not being available in the second half. But, you know, whether you go for it or don't go for it and you take the points, that's all hindsight. You know, 4 minutes left. And if the Falcons have their 4-minute offense going, then you maybe never get the ball back. So we could speculate on that. But the question I have is that, I don't know, okay, Taysom Hill's not available. And you got Alvin Kamara dealing. Now he's running hard. He's dealing with rib injuries. But Jamal Williams, why in the hell he's on the team? I mean, there's no trust factor. I mean, I'm looking. He had 3 carries the last 2 games. And then he was a touchdown maker in those situations with the Lions. And we got first and goal on the 5-yard line. And I know we had the piecemeal, and the offensive line was different than normally who would be starting. But Jamal Williams, why is he on the team if we don't play him?
Well, look, yeah, Bobby, I think that's something that, you know, with a new offensive staff and guys that are, you know, trying to still figure some things out. I think we'll get better at that as we go along. But we certainly got to get some more people involved in the offense, try to get some more production from some other people. And I think we'll do that as we move forward.
Coach, you had the 25-yard explosive play yesterday with Atlanta. Certainly it's difficult because things click so perfectly in weeks 1 and 2. I was wondering how much defenses Philly and Atlanta have said, you know, you're going to have to take the quick pass route because you're not going to beat us deep. How much have teams made that their first priority, kind of preventing the deep, you know, the deep play?
Oh, yeah, I think those have been characteristics of the last 2 teams that we've played, and that's kind of been their MO a little bit, and not letting teams, you know, get behind them on defense and create those explosive plays. And yet I still feel like we had a couple of opportunities four explosive plays. And so we've got to continue to do that, but we've got to take what the defense is giving us, you know. And like I said, we moved the ball pretty well throughout the course of the game. I mean, we had, you know, 370 yards of offense, basically. We ran the ball well. I thought we threw the ball effectively. You know, Derek, you know, threw the ball 28 to 36. And so there's a lot of things that we did well, and yet all of those things, you know, really don't mean anything when you give up 14 points through turnovers.
Now, Coach Allen, you know, it's a copycat lead, and, you know, I remember, you know, you're putting a game plan, you're always trying to attack the perception as far as who might be the weakest link. And it could be you could be in a slump, and then you attack that particular player as far as down and distance and all that. But it seems like right now that maybe they're going they have to complete a pass. They're going away from Lattimore. And I know the quarterback of our defense in the back end that might have came into play, Tyrann Mathieu, was not available. So you know how you're setting coverage and what you're doing, and you're putting a lot of responsibility in individual players. But I'm looking at Paulson and Debo. And I agree with you 100% that, and you're the head coach, that when it's crunch time, that's where the Falcons wanted to go. They wanted to attack him over there because Debo can be a little handsy, hands-on, physical cornerback, and we want him to be aggressive. But I'm looking at the sixth penalty called in 2024, three of which came against the Falcons. Now, he's come up with interceptions, a couple of interceptions, but they declined a couple of those penalties. So how do you coach that up with a Debo? Because you know in practice when you're in training camp, whether you on airline highway, you're in California, you have officials out there, and sometimes the defense will get all fired up, oh, that was pass defended. But then in a game, actual game, they might call interference or defensive holding, whatever it might be, and look at the impact on that. Spot foul, and all of a sudden – their kicker. I think our kicker can make a 58-yarder. So I was like, I had no confidence that he wasn't going to make that. But anyway, how do you go forward with that and give? I think Debo has confidence, but I think I could see the Chiefs or I could see Tampa Bay. They're going right at Debo again if those same circumstance comes about.
Yeah, Bobby, I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, I think, you know, I thought Philly started to do that a little bit in the previous week. I thought Atlanta was trying to do that this week. Paulson's a guy that's made a lot of plays for us. He's played good defense for us. He's got to improve on some things from a fundamental and technique standpoint. And look, when there you know becomes some flames and the offenses start looking to identify that, you've got to do some things to put out the fire. And so I have confidence that Paulson will be able to do that. He's played really good football for us. But certainly, I think the last 2 weeks, you know, teams have tried to attack him a little bit.
Need to take a break. We'll be back with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. We're here on the Saints Radio Network, along with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. Bobby Hebert is at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And Coach, Bobby talked a little bit about the Alvin Kamara touchdown, the third down. I don't think this is proprietary. Just the strategy involved with the car on first and second down and wanting to score, but also wanting to burn clock. It's got to be a big challenge always.
Yeah, well, look, obviously the number one objective there is to score the touchdown. You have to score the touchdown to win the game, and I don't think you can get too cute in those situations. And yet we were inside of a yard, and you know, the most effective short yardage play in football is the quarterback sneak. And so Look, we were trying to sneak it in. I thought they did a good job of stopping everything up inside. And so third down, we wanted to test the edge a little bit.
Now, Coach Allen, when you looked at the film, I said, you know, no excuses, next man up. You have to play with injuries. But, you know, how we lost the game, I was like, it wasn't because man, offensive line got their ass kicked. You know, Derek Carr got sacked five times. We don't have our leader on defense. You know, DeMario Davis and then Gage going down, then Tyrann Mathieu's hurt. I thought overall that's not why the reason that we did fine. And that who was plugging and playing on the offensive line and even on defense. Look, they didn't score a touchdown. And that was not the reason we didn't win. That's why it's so frustrating, I think, for Saints fans, is that what you thought might be a liability because who's playing and who's available, that was not the reason why we did not win that game. Because in the trenches, in the middle, now when you watch the film, you might be able to elaborate a little bit more on that. But I thought we were hanging. I was like impressed with the interior, the offensive line, Shane Lemieux, you look at Lucas Patrick, you look at everybody involved, Landon Young, whatever it might be. Now, you never want no penalties. It's, you know, that's one thing. Atlanta ended up having nine penalties. You never want nine or more around 100 yards. But to me, what I thought could be maybe a problem going into the game, because who's playing, you know, might say next man up, but it doesn't matter who's playing, that was not the reason why we didn't beat Atlanta. Because I thought whoever went in there, that they took pride in their craft and played at a high level. And even though, like, DeMario Davis, the captain of the defense, like I said over and over, that was not an issue. Because, you know, teams are dealing with injuries, but I was very encouraged by that.
No, yeah, look, I think we had some guys that stepped in and played really well. You know, I mean, DeMarco Jackson, you know, for a guy that's been out for over a month and really hadn't had a lot of practice reps really since training camp, to have to go in on, you know, the fifth or sixth play of the game and finish out the game in place of Willie Gay was pretty outstanding for him to do that. I thought our offensive line, you know, the guys that filled in there, I thought they stepped up and did well. And look, I thought in a lot of areas we played well enough to win the game. And you know, we can talk about all the good and all the bad and all the whatever you want to talk about. I think it still boils down to, and you know this game is about turnover takeaway margin. And when you turn the ball over, and in particular when those things end up being scores, it's really hard to win, in particular on the road in those situations.
Yeah, it shows you how good we are. And because when you basically giving them a gift of 14 points or two touchdowns, and we actually took the lead at the end of the game, That's very promising going forward. Now, the one thing that was not so much promising, because I had said this last year going into this year, okay, can we run the ball and can we stop the run? Now, we've been able to run the ball. You know, last year, remember, we given up like 4.5 yards a run and we basically getting 3.5. Well, I'm just looking at the Eagles game and then Algier in particular on the back end. I'm like, what they were actually, I don't know why. I'm like, if I'm, you know, talking to the offensive coordinator with the Falcons, say, why we only ran the ball 15 times? And the reason why I bring that up, like, for instance, the Eagles ran 25 times, a 7-yard average, 6.9. And then Atlanta ran 15 times, 5.9 average. So you can look 7 average, 7.0 average with the Eagles and 6 with the Falcons. So that's something, to me, we still, back-to-back games, we have not stopped the run. Now, how did y'all address that in the meetings?
Well, the same way we do every week. You know, there's some areas that we've got to improve on. We've got to improve on some things from a fundamental and a technique standpoint. I don't think we tackled very well in this game. And I think that was part of the issue in the game. I think we got to do a better job of tackling. I felt like we did a good job of being able to stop the run in the first half. I thought we played the run pretty well in the first half. I don't think we played the run very well in the second half. And so I think we've got to be able to put four quarters together and being able to stop the run.
Coach, wanted you to expand, if you could. You talked earlier today about getting more production beyond Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, Olave, and Rashid. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just think we got to be able to get some more people involved. I think, you know, Juwan Johnson's a guy that I think has some ability to help us in the passing game. I think we've got to be able to get him, you know, a little bit more involved. I think we just have so many plays that these guys can play and be effective, and I get concerned that we're going to, you know, overuse some of these guys, and then we're going to have to deal with some of the injuries that we see. You know, Jamal Williams, you know, Bobby's already mentioned that. That's another guy that I think we need to get, you know, more involved. I think Mason Tipton's a guy that can help us in certain areas. So I think we've got to be able to count on those guys to have some production for us too.
Need to take another break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. We're back after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, as well as Saints head coach Dennis Allen. Coach, Monday night, Kansas City. Just from a schedule standpoint, how does it break down? Players are typically off tomorrow on Tuesday. I mean, is it an extra day of practice, an extra day of rest? How does the schedule break out for you this week?
Well, players will be off tomorrow as their normal player day off. And then we'll get back to work on Wednesday. Wednesday will be more of a walkthrough type practice. And then we'll basically, you know, treat Thursday as if it was a normal Wednesday and kind of on down the line and travel out of here on Sunday afternoon.
You know, Coach Allen, I got looking on the defensive side, a couple of players to me, they always showing up and they're putting up numbers. Or should I say this one in particular, along with JT Gray, seems like we always find linebackers like Anthony Orji. He's always making special teams tackles. And if he's not leading, he's in the top two along with JT Gray, that being Anthony Orji. I want you to comment on that. And then also finally Peyton Turner showed up. Peyton Turner got a significant sack. He forced a fumble. I wish Dane Shepard could have landed on it. But our quarterback hurrying a tackle for loss. But overall, I still don't think we finished. And now, you can talk about quarterback hurries, quarterback hits, like Chase Young, so close but so far. Look at Carl Granderson. I think he's our best edge guy right now. But it seems like at times we didn't influence Kirk Cousins enough as far as with the pass rush.
Well, yeah. I think, Bobby, we certainly didn't get him on the ground as much as we needed to be able to get him on the ground, and we need to be able to rush the passer better, and we will be able to rush the passer better, and we have rushed the passer better. It's been a significant improvement from where we were a year ago, and yet it's not, you know, where we want it to be. So we're going to continue to work hard to get better at that. I do think Carl's done a nice job of rushing the passer. I thought Peyton Turner had an outstanding rush and a long arm to get the ball out from the quarterback. You know, I showed, you know, about eight plays, you know, specifically with the defense and the difference, you know, in winning and losing the game. And there's, you know, about eight plays in the game where if we're able to make the play, you know, we're taking points off the board. And so that's the critical factor in playing these close games is you never know which play is going to be the difference in the game. And so we've got to do a better job of, you know, finishing on all these plays. And then you mentioned Anthony Orji. I think he's done a really good job on the coverage units, in particular on the kickoff coverage. He's a guy that's improved a lot from where he was a year ago. And that's good to see. And hopefully he'll continue to improve and continue to improve as a defensive player.
Now, Coach Allen, the one thing, we've been pretty disciplined. Now, it's all timing also when you look at penalties. I think overall that's something that you have to be pleased with. Now, it seems like I want to say that all we had six penalties, but like five of them were in the second half. I don't know. It could come in bunches, which is a bad thing. But I remember at one time I'm looking at the first half, I'm like, man, we don't even have a penalty. You know, which is very good. You know, you'll get a handful of penalties. You never want two handfuls. So I think you have to be overall please, again, you never want a penalty that stops a drive or whatever, or extend a play like what happened with the Debo at the end, so they get in field goal range. But I think overall that, you know, you experiment, and when you look in the preseason, and you might have a game where you have double-digit penalties or 100 yards. But overall, I think we've been pretty good disciplined as far as the penalties.
Yeah, look, I think it's been an area of improvement for our football team. And there's still some things that I think we can be better at and eliminate some of the penalties. We had a few too many pre-snap penalties offensively in the game. We've got to clean that stuff up. The ones that we have total control over, we've got to be better at. And then the penalties that occur during the play, those are the ones that we have to rely on. All that time that we spend in the off season and training camp working on individual fundamentals, technique, you know, that's why you do those things, to put yourself in better position, so you don't have to have penalties. Because typically penalties during the play occur from, you know, lack of execution on your technique. And so I think that's still an area that we've got to improve on. But I'd say overall the penalties have been an improvement.
Coach, earlier today you met with the media, and so the Saints fans who are listening understand you're not really going into the injury situation of the players who were banged up yesterday. And so they wonder why we're not asking about some of the injured players. Your first injury report this week doesn't have to come out till Thursday. So just wanted to say that, to get that out there. But I was curious about Kendre Miller. This is week five. He is at least possible that he could come off IR. Doesn't mean he has to, but I just wanted to check on his progress and if that's something that could be looked at by the team.
Yeah, he's made significant progress. I think that's something that we're considering. We haven't made a final decision on that. And that probably won't come until, you know, tomorrow or the next day. But I think he's closer to being, you know, ready to get back into practice. And then once we decide to, you know, to activate him, we really basically have a 3-week window that he can practice with the team before we have to, you know, make a decision as to do we bring him off of IR? Do we leave him on IR? Is he ready to go? Is he ready to help us? And so I think that 3-week window for him is going to be an important time frame.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. I know it's a tough one back-to-back, but, hey, you go beat the two-time defending Super Bowl champs on Monday night and give them their first loss. Winning cures a lot of ills, as you well know. We, you know, have a great week and look for better things on Monday night.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.